as always, your contribution is remarkable, Liz.
More and more people are saying that girl can clap.
I hear people are saying, I hear the bossa nova community has really taken to Elizabeth Lenz. They're kind of obsessed, as I understand it.
They're like, never has a girl been raised Baptist and come out with such a lack of rhythm. I'm such a disappointment to my mom, because my mom was a music teacher. She's like a musical prodigy. And
so what happened to you?
Exactly. I'm the only kid who really wanted to perform, because she like would make us be the Von Trapp family singers at church. She'd like line us all up at church and we'd sing little songs. And me, always the loudest. Always off key, you know, and I'm like, put me in, coach. But like the more talented siblings were like, we are not interested in being performers, which is upsetting to me.
And you strike me as a, it's interesting that percussion is your kind of late in life, and I would consider this late in your life, kind of talent. Because I've always thought of your work as being kind of the stomp, the musical of the literary world. I've always thought, like, you know, there goes Liz in the pages of Du Jour magazine, banging on her garbage can.
She's got some rhythm. She's got some rhythm. You know,
what's she doing with that ladder?
I will say, I had an editor one time tell me, she's like, sometimes the cadence of your sentences read like a Baptist minister, and I've never felt more complimented by an editor in my life.
It's the cadence, or it's the constant talk of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Or it's just that huge sense of judgment and self-righteousness that I give off. I would have been such a good Baptist minister. I mean, if I had been born a man, I would
Oh, that's
be,
right. They do.
I would be. I would be.
I was about to say, why not?
Why not today? Right now? You know, I did watch.
It's not hard. There's an abandoned mall
gemstones,
site
and
down
I
the
was
street.
Like, I could do this.
I could be fabulously wealthy and a Nepo
more
child.
More
yes.
People are watching The Righteous Gemstones and thinking, aspirational. I did.
Yeah. I certainly look to The Righteous Gemstones and think, but for the grace of God,
it's
there
a good show.
Goes I.
I would have just killed at it. I should have been a minister. It's not too late. I can quit.
I mean, but when this goes up, people are going to know you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
No, I'm doing it for the right Jesus. I'm doing it for Jesus. My Spotify Wrapped. You know who I listen to?
Actually
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit has an RSS feed these days. I don't know if you heard, but the Holy Spirit actually has entered the Dude podcast space.
That's right. He's the Holy Spirit's like, so those vaccines are bad.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. They've got the Dove has a backwards baseball cap.
The Holy
cap.
Spirit's selling creatine bottled. It's like, you gotta get on your protein and tell those women what's up.
Can you say creatine one more time?
Nope.
I can tell. Like, so I get advertised.
That's how the Holy Spirit says it's not Liz. Oh. I was channeling. I was channeling the Holy Spirit, and he's a spirit. He can't read.
He can't read. He's if he speaks anything,
read.
He speaks Aramaic.
He's from
and he's
the
a he.
Lord. Yeah. Three.
We have done a thing that my personal priest would like actually be really upset that I've done, which
That's
is refer to the
Holy
Spirit.
You go to one of those beautiful little liberal churches where it's like.
We just call them Episcopalian where I come from. That's.
If God exists, they
don't. If God exists, which as an Episcopalian, we're not sure.
We're not. Why do you even go to church? I mean, respectfully, it sounds fun. I miss church this time.
You should come.
Year.
Come with me this Sunday.
I miss
my daughter's getting baptized this Sunday. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
Okay, come.
All right.
10 o'clock service.
All
Kathy
right.
will be there. Your best friend, my mother, will be there. Who listens to this podcast?
Oh, Kathy. She listens because we talk about how great her hair is. I had Thanksgiving at your house, and I got to sit by your mom, and we bonded. And I am now a member of the family.
I understand that I've actually been I didn't realize you could be unmembered from a family,
mm-hmm.
but they have
yeah.
cut my
you
branch
out.
Off. I looked at the family tree and they actually like, there's a now a, it's bisected.
That's right. Because I am there.
You know, Liz, there for those that aren't subscribers to the Patreon, aren't patrons on the Patreon, mm-hmm. They won't have seen you taking part in what is the most delectable new tradition. It's important to make new traditions. You had a delicious meal over Thanksgiving, right?
So, Zach and his wife were so lovely, hosted Thanksgiving. And I rolled into Thanksgiving, and I just want to say, I didn't know I was going to work, and I was a lazy piece of shit that day. I didn't run my turkey trot.
You didn't run the turkey
trot. No, I know, which is not a Liz behavior. Liz is like, my behavior is like, we're up, we're running. I'm like, you know, I'm like the grind set mindset kind of a jerk. And I literally put my hand on the door. I was all dressed for the turkey trot, had my little number on, put my hand on the door.
Had your turkey on.
I literally had my little water bottle, my little hat and everything ready to go. And I put my hand on the door, opened the door. It was like, I was like, this is too cold. I don't care. I shut the door, laid down on the couch, fell back asleep.
That's incredible.
And then so when our friends were like, hey, Liz, we're going to pick you up and we're going to go to Thanksgiving, I was literally waking up, running a brush through my hair. And I show up at this Thanksgiving and Zach is like, guess what? I made an aspic. And so if you don't know, so our Thanksgiving episode, Zach had this whole thing where he was going to bring back aspic, which is a savory gelatin dish.
A beautiful tradition for you and me.
And yes. He was like, this needs to be a thing again.
I think I think that would have been better branding. We could have opened up our podcast to it. I think I said, ring in the golden age of the aspic.
That's right.
Specifically.
So I roll into Thanksgiving with Zach's lovely parents. Who I love, your baby who I love,
all these people who,
all of our friends who I love, and then Zach over here, and he's like, hey, by the way, we're gonna record and you're gonna eat aspic on camera. Zach had made this aspic, which the best, and I'm only going to describe it once because if you want more of the descriptions, you have to listen to the bonus episode.
She it's had for a lot paying of language for it.
I had a lot of language for it, which I feel bad for saying in front of your mother. I made an oral sex joke in front of your mom.
My mother blushed.
I said, I've had worse things in my mouth as a straight woman.
Save it for the wall. Save it for the Patreon.
That's right. Paywalled. Those jokes are paywalled. But your mom got it for free, and I feel bad about that. But because she is a lady. I don't like the video because I'm like puffy. My hair is not brushed. I am sitting in the chair like this. Like, I'm just like, I've had like a martini, which your mom made, which was like all I needed.
Those are pretty heavy sauce.
What's your mom's thing about martinis?
They're like breasts.
Breasts.
It's never to men, which is hilarious. Ladies, the martinis are like breasts. Two is perfect, but three, I don't know about that.
It's like, too much.
It's a crazy bit.
It's so funny, but she can make a martini.
She'll put you on camera as it
I
turns
had
out.
A one and I was slow rolling that thing and I didn't even I had one. It was enough.
One is
one breast.
Actually, one breast can be enough in Joe Biden's America.
Zach, what podcast is this?
Hello and welcome to Dingus of the Week, a weekly show where we unbox the American barrel of monkeys and check it for signs of life. I'm Zachary Oren Smith, a political writer based out of Iowa. I'm here with Liz Lenz, writer of the Dingus of the Week newsletter. This podcast is the audio second course, the newsletter's visual feast. If you aren't already, sign up on its new home in Patreon. That's at patreon.com/LizLenz, spelled LYZLENZ. Wherever you listen, do us a solid, help it grow, like and subscribe. If you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, give us a rating and a review. It does more than you know. And of course, the show only exists because of Patreon support. Again, go to patreon.com/LizLenz. Become a Patreon member. Become a patron. a patron of the Dingus is of the Dingus Arts for $5 a month.
It's more affordable than when I was on Substack.
So eat that, Substack. Have a dingus of your own. Send us a voicemail by going to memo.fm/dingus. Leave a voicemail and it might just make it on this show. Now, Liz, who's the dingus of the week?
Zach.
Liz.
Have you ever stepped outside, taken a deep breath of air and thought, wow, I fucking hate all this clean air. I wish I could wake up every morning feeling like I had a 3-pack-a-day habit and a future filled with chemo.
Oh.
Have you ever thought that when you stepped outside?
As a recluse, I make a habit of never stepping outside.
Well, if you have ever stepped outside and thought, I wish my air was dirtier.
Mm.
I wish life was worse. I wish I could have asthma. Then guess who has your back?
Who's that?
Sean Duffy. The Secretary of Transportation. And we also need to take a quick aside to say, I did not choose a Sean on purpose. The Sean chose himself. If you have been listening to this podcast, you know that we have been making jokes about how Sean is the worst name for a man.
As I remember, Sean's were officially pardoned two weeks ago. Yes,
so this was an ongoing bit. And then on the Thanksgiving episode, we pardoned a dingus. And one of the dinguses that we pardoned was like Sean's. And
generally,
in general, as an apology for besmirching the great name of Sean, you know, hashtag not all Sean's. And then this week when I was picking a dingus, I was like, well, this guy sucks. And it's about time that he became the dingus. And then I was like, oh, well, his name is Sean. And it's just like, and I have to say the newsletter went up the morning we're recording this. A man in the comments made a very funny joke. This man is also named Sean. And he wrote, bad Sean, God damn it. We disavow thee, bad Sean. It's like, you know, we made great strides for Sean's and now we're making great strides backwards. So Sean Duffy is from Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. A cheese eater.
A cheesehead doofus. Cheesehead.
I don't know the difference.
They do be eating the cheese, but no, they're cheeseheads.
Oh.
And we love Wisconsin. And here's what I love about Wisconsin. They are the Spain of the Midwest.
Oh.
Because we go there. Ask me why.
What? Why are they the Spain of the Midwest?
This is one of my favorite bits. So because Wisconsin in the Midwest, we go there for cheap access to the water.
Yeah.
Cheap booze.
Yeah.
They love a sausage. Also,
truly,
Spain loves a sausage.
Truly.
They're very Catholic, and they also like to dabble in fascism.
Ayo.
But as an Iowan, I'm not judging.
Their discotheques are also really good. The Wisconsin discotheques are pretty rad.
More and more people have been saying that. But so Sean Duffy's from Wisconsin, a Catholic boy from Wisconsin, and he made his name on MTV's Road Rules. He was on The Real World Boston.
Okay.
And then he was on Road Rules. And so he was kind of this guy who like really was just like working the early reality TV circuit, trying to become famous. And then that kind of, I don't know, didn't work. He met his wife there and he went to the University of Minnesota for his JD, came out, ran for Congress.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. And then, but like.
Real world Congress would have been kind of fun.
But it's just like, you know, the man who made his name on Road Rules is probably why Trump thought he was qualified to be transportation secretary.
He looks good on TV.
That's right. He's like, he knows about the road. He knows about the rules.
He's already had a screen test. I love that.
But this week, Sean Duffy came out and literally said that he's changing the fuel economy standards to lessen the fuel economy standards so cars can emit more pollution into the air. Because when you look at America and you think, wow, how can I solve the problems of America's crumbling infrastructure? Or perhaps the fact that like pedestrian deaths are at an all-time high, actually, it's because of those big fucking trucks, which in the UK, they call them yank tanks, yank wank tanks, which They should. They're stupid.
Who was asking for an emission, like lower, increasing the emission standards?
You know, not cars. Dying of asthma is like too woke, I guess. It's like,
another woke left victim.
He had a press conference where he literally said, this rule will allow you to bring back the 1970s station wagon, maybe a little wood paneling on the side. We can bring back choice to consumers. This is what this man said as a justification for adding more pollution to our air. And it's like, here's what it feels like, right? Like, you look at the problem of America's crumbling infrastructure. Right. And so he's basically like, it's like, the best metaphor would be like, if you're trapped in a burning house, right? You're like, help me. I'm on fire. Right. Everything's awful. I could die. And then a fireman comes in, trips you, hands you a kazoo, and runs out. Like, that's what it feels like.
Gives a review
like.
Of the wainscoting.
Yeah, he's like, look at this wood panel. It's on fire. Goodbye. It's also like, those station wagons, that was not like real wood paneling. It was a vinyl decal. Which, what a metaphor for America. We're going to bring back, we're going to ruin it all just to bring back fake shit. And it's like, one of the reasons we have these fuel economy standards and we have this stuff is because car companies were literally killing us and being like, it's fine. To research this article, because I remember the Ford Pinto, mm-hmm. which was the car that would explode if it got rear-ended.
Pretty fun time.
And Ford was like, hey, it's fine. And the government had to be like, actually, no, it's not fine. But as I was researching this, because I wanted to, you know, fact check my memory about the Ford Pinto, I was not alive. Contrary to what you might think, I was not alive when the Ford Pinto was
news
at its
to
peak.
Me. News to me. That's interesting.
Yes. I was reading this article about the Pontiac Fiero. This is a car that would spontaneously combust. It had a problem with the oil pan. And I was reading an article about it in like a car website. And the article literally was like, but it wasn't that bad. It was like only 1 in 300 of these cars would spontaneously combust and kill people. It's like, this is why we need the government oversight, because literally people will be like, it's fine if only 1 in 300 people die of a preventable fiery death.
I think it's in like of all the things that we need to absolutely get right. I think spontaneous combustion is like maybe one of the, we can all agree that the Venn diagram of left and right, we can hold hands and say like exploding what? Randomly, the fuel pan igniting while I'm dropping my kid off at school. Not great.
Yeah.
Let's lock that up.
It's just like, yeah, you know what? Sean, why stop there? Why don't we take away seatbelts, airbags, child safety locks? Like, why don't we make acid rain great again, you dumbass? Like, the hole in the ozone is actually shrinking, but let's shoot Sean Duffy up into space so he can rip it apart. Like, what is this man's
Don't give
plan?
Him ideas, easy. No.
Like, Sean Duffy wants to do for American roads what Exxon Bal did for the oceans.
Which
the Great
was very
Fire
good,
did for the Library of Alexandria. You know, like, he's a pioneer in making everything worse.
He's in shitification incarnate. This is a man. He actually was like, man, I think we can do this worse.
Hey, have you ever wanted to just blow up in your car? Sean Duffy's got your back.
My guy.
He also did one more thing that I need to talk about. And right before Thanksgiving, have you ever flown on a plane, Zach?
You know what? I have, and I understand he has a innovative solution.
What is it like to fly on a plane, Zach?
It's cramped. It's tight. I'll say tensions are high.
Tensions are high.
Yes. You know, I roll into my sweatpants and hoodie.
Because you want to be comfortable. Because the only affordable flights are like at 6 a.m.
That's right. And I don't know if I'm going to be stuck at an airport for 2 hours.
That's right. Because you don't know if your plane's
going
to be able to fly.
That's right.
You know, like these planes, they are not flying.
We've got
a problem.
Got shortages of air traffic controllers.
And there's really only like two companies that actually make airplanes. So we basically have a duopoly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they outsource it all to the same company. to make those component parts, which that company is here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
It's Thank called you, Collins.
Collins Aerospace.
Shout out.
No, derogatory. and that's all we'll say about that. But I don't need big engineer coming for my ass. I already had a divorce. I don't. I divorced an aerospace engineer. Guys.
We can actually play a clip of Sean Duffy's remarks.
I think, again, I call this just maybe dressing with some respect. You know, whether it's a pair of jeans and a decent shirt, I would encourage people to maybe dress a little better, which encourages us to maybe behave all a little better. Let's try not to wear slippers and pajamas as we come to the airport. I think that's positive. If we can help someone as we're getting on the aircraft that might need some help putting their bag in the overhead bin, and you're a little stronger, a little buffer, you've been lifting, you know, stand up and, you know, offer to grab that bag and put it up for someone who's having a more difficult time. Common courtesy and civility, I think, is going
to
work well.
Sean Duffy's solution to making air travel great again is for you to put on a suit and tie.
It was me all along. It's my hoodie that was dragging the led to the three wrecks, like, of planes on tarmac.
You have to sit in the. I fly all the time. You have to sit in these cramped little seats.
That's right.
Some man is man spreading. Do you know what happens to me often? Men will fall asleep and their heads will fall on my shoulder.
I did this once. I did this on one trip over the ocean.
No, and suddenly I can shove them away.
It hurts, actually.
I have literally shoved a man and been like, you fell asleep and your head hit my shoulder.
Don't do that again.
Don't do that again. Or I'll elbow their legs. I'll shove their legs and be like, get out of my space. I am so aggressive now. And it's just like the one thing that you can have as you're sitting in this cramped little seat and you're being upsold for everything is to, like, wear a nice pair of pants that have an elastic waist. You know, you don't know how long you're going to be on that tarmac. Nobody wants to wear hard pants. And so Sean Duffy's like, hey, instead of investigating Boeing for, like, literally having failures of their cockpit components. Like, instead of investigating failures for why doors are flying off planes and people are dying, how about you just wear a suit and tie? And ladies, would it hurt you to wear a dress? Like,
a little makeup.
Sean Duffy looked at the problem of American transportation and was like, yeah, but what was she wearing?
Truly. Well, and, like, we get nickeled and dimed up and down this experience. We get charged for additional space. We're getting charged and more for baggage. We're getting charged more and more for weight of that baggage. I mean, the idea that instead of, like, the regulators, like, going after what we, you know, actually making travel like an easier process, we instead are being told to, like, put a tie on it.
That's right. But I will say travelers are, like, I love Americans mostly. Sometimes we're working on it, guys.
We're living together.
We're living. We're laughing. We're loving. I've been, like, posting TikToks of themselves in their, like, trashiest airplane attire, being like, Sean Duffy, does this trigger you? You know, there was a whole Washington Post article about it this week. And a comedian, one of my favorite comedians, Michelle Wolf, said in a TikTok, we're dressing for the air travel we have. You know, not the air travel we want. And it's just like, yeah, maybe Sean, like, fix the chokehold that these airlines have on our neck. And, you know, Pete Buttigieg was, like, actually doing things. Like, he was investigating Boeing. He was making it so the airlines, if they, like, randomly kicked you off a flight, they had to compensate you for this.
Right.
I have been the beneficiary of these new Pete Buttigieg rules. And, like, and now Sean Duffy's like, hey, remember all those nice things we were doing? Shut up. Let TSA kick you in the nuts and wear a suit about it.
These companies are worth tens of billions of dollars. And the government regulator that should be trying to, add some protections, make it easier,
yes,
is actually in a position to make flight meaningfully better for consumers, is spending his time lecturing to Americans about what they are to wear when in an environment, right, that has become,
it's maximal discomfort.
I am
like a straight-sized person. Those seats are uncomfortable. And as a person who travels a lot, I am now often offered an upgrade. And I often take the upgrade.
Oh, fucking 1% over here.
I can see the
follower.
That's right.
Drop.
But like, I will say, I had to fly earlier this year. I went to the LA Times Book Festival.
Cool.
My publisher booked the flights, and
did you have champagne waiting for you?
No, I didn't. I wasn't. They booked me in economy because I'm like, you know, I was a New York Times bestseller, but not that high of a New York Times bestseller. They're
which
like, we'll book your flight. They'll book their flight, but you get the cheapest one ever. Like, and whatever. Yeah. And they, but it was, you know, so I was like, oh, that's nice. Somebody handled it. But I literally got stuck in, you know, in the middle seat in between these people who were like, and one guy was drinking so many Jack and Cokes, he got cut off. And then was like flipping through his Instagram, finding women and messaging them. Well, on my other side, you know, like a grandmother is just like sleeping and snoring. And I was just like, this is inhumane. This is but at least I'm not wearing hard pants.
Yeah. I mean, I think these spaces are designed so that all of the issues that you have, it turns on the people next to you, the other consumers who are paying a ton of money just to get from one point A to point B, instead of being directed at the companies themselves.
That's right.
That have created these conditions, right? This is why the Secretary of Transportation and the regulation of this industry is so important and could be so meaningful.
Yeah.
Is like, instead, this is the one person who can actually doggedly go after these, again, companies worth tens of billions of dollars.
Yeah, and they're also union busting, which is a real, like a real side point is that, you know, flight attendants are also, like, if we think we're getting nickeled and dimed, like flight attendants are getting screwed over, mm-hmm, you know, not being paid the overtime, being required, you know, to having this like insane job requirements. And they've been trying to unionize for years, and these companies are, you know, just refusing to pay workers, mm-hmm, fairly, give them, you know, adequate compensation for like what they're required to do for their job. So it's bad for us. It's bad for the people who work there. But, you know, who's making a crap ton of money? These CEOs. And then instead of, right, like the government,
right,
solving this problem, we just turn on each other and then hate each other on the flights. But
what if instead of playing what not to wear, we had a Secretary of Transportation that was working on on-ramps for new pilots, on-ramps for new stewards,
right,
on-ramps for new traffic and air traffic control.
Air traffic control.
What if instead of worrying about the pattern, whether my tie matches my shirt, he was instead worried about doing something about the layoffs, doing something about the shutdown, doing something about like the hostile work environment that,
yeah,
we've created for the people in this industry. And I don't like going through TSA any more than the next person. I get annoyed. I'm as ornery as the next person going through this process. But again, the person that could meaningfully make this better is doing nothing about
it's
it.
Like,
is blaming you for, yeah, your bad time.
It's like, ladies, wear heels.
Yeah, right.
Zach, I hear, speaking of people doing the worst and speaking of people who smell like stale alcohol.
God, secretary to secretary.
You brought a dingus this week.
I brought another frequent flyer to the dingus, to the dingustry. Secretary,
the dingularity.
Yeah, right. He certainly is reaching dingularity. Secretary of the Department, formerly known as Defense.
It's actually still known as Defense. It takes an act of Congress to change the name. Yes. So legally,
but he's just referring to it, yes, as the Department of War.
That's right. That's right. So they're, yes, they've changed the Trump administration wants to change the name to the Department of War. Hegseth, Pete Hegseth, has been calling it the Department of War, but it's still the Department of Defense because it takes an act of, you know, Congress.
We love a live fact check.
Listen, your girl knows stuff.
We love to see it. Well, so you've seen in the news that we've escalated a lot of the kind of drones that are bombing ships in the Caribbean. There's obviously been issues with drug smuggling from Venezuela that have reached the United States. The way the Trump administration has decided to tackle this is by bombing boats that are in the Caribbean that they claim are narco terrorists. Is the
That's
phrase
right. That there has been no declaration of war, which again takes an act of Congress, but. Hegseth is just bombing boats. This week, there's been a lot of reporting that's uncovered issues with just randomly bombing boats. What could be the problem, Zach? Yeah,
at this point, 87 people have been killed. Have been killed in these attacks. So there's a earlier this month, there was a ship that was targeted by a Raptor drone operated by the U.S. military. There were two strikes. One that Pete Hegseth says that he oversaw, and a second one that he claims that he left the room for.
So a boat was bombed and then bombed again.
A boat was bombed, and then allegedly two survivors that were on this boat, that were seen on this boat, were then bombed a second time, killing. There's still a loose information environment around it, but we don't know how many people died. We don't know how many folks were on this boat. And while the Trump administration claims that they had reasonable suspicion for this, they had evidence of this being a drug boat, they have offered none of that to the American people. No justification. They've kept all this classified. The reason that this is raising a lot of concern for folks is this is kind of like a rote example of a war crime, right? That targeting a scuttled ship in the water following a strike, right? When a ship has been destroyed, right, eliminating every sign of life in the perimeter is not actually a legal, would be considered a war crime by virtually every legal expert that has looked at this.
This week, Pete Hegseth has leveled up from dingus to alleged war criminal.
Which,
because
mazel.
The 87 people who died are civilians.
That's right.
And because there is no war, so this is, and the idea of going back, and they've been calling them double tap strikes, which is just such a bullshit way of saying exterminating all human life in a situation where there is no evidence that these are people besides just civilians. And it doesn't matter, even if they're drug smugglers, like, you stopped the boat, you do not go back again. There are literal rules for war because of people like Hegseth who would do things like this. And it's coming out this week that these strikes have been targeting civilians, that there is no evidence that they're anything but civilians. This is the very definition of a war crime perpetuated by somebody who looks like a walking pit stain.
And I'll say, this is something that is drilled into the members of the military, armed services, over and over again, because they are expected to act accordingly. They are expected to act in concert with international law. People that were involved in this strike, from the operator of the drone all the way up to Admiral Frank Bradley, who Hegseth is blaming this. Exercise on now. All of these people are aware of firing another rocket at a scuttled ship to kill any survivors, right? It would be illegal under international law. And to continue to do that is violating that law. It's not just breaking with norms. It's violating some really important doctrine for our military that, again, they are trained to do. They are aware of at every level.
He's making jokes about it,
that's right,
too. Like, he's on X right now, making jokes about these strikes. And so not only is he killing civilians, but this is something he's blaming on. And they're looking for a fall guy. So the buck does not stop here. The buck stops anywhere but at me. And he's making jokes about it, about his alleged war crimes. Listen, we have to say alleged.
That's right.
Because unfortunately, we're not Newsmax. We do believe in using facts, so it's got to be proven. But like, it's just like, and also,
right. And there is like there's a genuine information gap here, right? The people that have the most information on this instance are people like the drone operator that had an HD camera aimed at this vessel when it occurred. Yeah. The problem is that the folks that have all of the information on this incident are conveniently hiding it from the American people, keeping it classified. And here's the deal, right? If you are a good actor in this space, if this drone operator was credibly fearful for his life when he was operating this drone, show us.
Leak it.
Show
be
us.
A reality winner.
I mean it when I say that. Like I would love to learn that my country was not responsible for yet another war crime.
I mean, this is why Reality Winner.
That's right.
Leaked, information.
That's right.
And we need that information because we need to hold people accountable. And this is the biggest problem with Pete Hegseth, is he has been accused of so many things, from assault to just being drunk on the job. And
texting
now
work plans to
the signal chat that Atlantic Jeffrey Goldberg editors. And there is no accountability. And also, why does he look damp all the time? Why does he has that Jared Kushner problem of walking around looking like a wet paper towel?
It's just a little
These
damp.
Men just look perpetually damp. And I see pictures of them and I know they smell like stale vodka.
Yeah.
You know that like wet. Like,
that dorm room curtain.
Oh, God.
That, yeah.
Yes. And you're just like, not only are you doing horrible things, but you look
capable of it.
You look like.
You look credibly capable of doing that.
You look like you rolled off of a frat boy floor into your 9 a.m. class on a Thursday.
Why does he look so damp? So congratulations, Sean Duffy and Pete Hegseth. You are once again in the spot, the dingus light.
That's right. And Pete Hegseth has been Dingus of the Week twice now.
Oh, man. Keep it up. You know, keep up the war crimes and you might, who knows where you could be in the running.
Who knows? Dingus of the year.
And with that, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Zach, can I tell you something great about the newsletter?
Yeah, please.
So people who subscribe can become members, can join the chat. There's
right.
a Patreon chat, which is just kind of getting started.
Right.
It's not super active. But we also have a Discord, which I've had a Discord for the newsletter for the past like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a really wonderful thing about the Discord is people will go and have more in-depth conversations about the topics that I write about in the newsletter and also just other things.
Right.
And one of my favorite things about the Discord is people just make really good jokes in there and share like tips and tricks
mm-hmm.
and ideas. And this week, in my newsletter, I wrote about this idea that like women have to do it all and that we carry
yeah.
the burden, especially for the holidays, and we're constantly doing all this labor. And so in the Discord, there were people who were sharing like what they say
mm-hmm.
when somebody expects them, to know everything, like not to throw my kid under the bus, but like my daughter was asking me, she joined a new swim club and she was like, when's practice? And I'm like, ask the coach, like ask your friend who's there. I like Google it. Like I can't do this right now. And Tony in the Discord, one of my faves, said when people ask her what to do, like these questions, she would say, what would you do if I wasn't available to ask? So I'm
Whoa.
Gonna start using that,
Powerful.
Especially for my small son who continues to ask me like things where's my drum books? Where are my socks? And so I'm going to start doing that. Like, what would you do if I wasn't available to ask? I love that. But to be in the Discord, you have to be
a Patreon member. And you can go right now to patreon.com/LizLenz, LYZLENZ. Go right now. Stop what you're doing. Go to patreon.com and subscribe to support this show and get this newsletter right to your inbox every time it drops.
And support us.
Thanks.
Zach, I hear you have a game for us.
I have a game, another edition of Dingus Says What, our favorite game.
Dingus Says What, Dingus Says What.
This week, the Trump administration is under fire for stealing intellectual property without permission to promote their mass jackbooted thug occupation of normal American cities. When ICE used the likeness of Master Chief, a popular video game franchise character, to promote destroying undocumented immigrants, the cowards at Microsoft decided that they were going to say nothing and just were going to like let their contribution to Trump's ballroom speak for itself. But luckily, not everyone has proven to be a coward. I have collated three responses that the White House sent in response to their intellectual property being used. And you get to guess which one is real.
Okay. So wait, let me just clarify.
Okay.
So the Trump administration's making videos
for social media,
and they're glorifying the use of violence against immigrants, and they're using songs and characters
and likenesses,
right, for memes.
That's right.
I am just making sure I've got it. So go for it. Okay. Sure. So the White House has three responses.
That's right.
To people saying, hey, stop using my music and or likeness to support your fascist violence.
That's right. So in September, the White House used a video of podcast loser Theo Von saying, quote, heard you got deported, dude. Von took to Twitter, writing, I know you know my address, so send a check. And please take this down. And please keep me out of your, quote, banger deportation videos. When it comes to immigration, my thoughts and heart are a little more nuanced than this video allows. Bye.
I'm a bit more complicated than that. The inner machinations of my mind are an enigma.
Giving like the most Patrick Starr ass.
Yeah, I don't actually super love that response, but okay, he said something.
The White House responded by taking it down. Do you buy it?
Do I buy it? No, I don't buy that they would take it down.
Here's your next, number two. In November, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security used an Olivia Rodrigo song in an Instagram video of agents rounding up people. Rodrigo commented on the DHS Instagram post saying, quote, don't ever use my songs to promote your racist, hateful propaganda.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Keep my name out of your mouth, she said.
She raises money for abortion.
We'd love to see it.
We love Olivia Rodrigo.
DHS told TMZ, quote, America is grateful all the time for our federal law enforcement officers who keep us safe. We suggest Ms. Rodrigo thank them for their service and not belittle their sacrifice.
Their sacrifice in breaking apart families. Wow, what a sacrifice.
The video, of course, included the threat of self-deport or else. This was from an institution that's been challenging due process rights of undocumented residents in the United States since the beginning. DHS apparently deleted Olivia Rodrigo's comment to this video and took her song off the post.
Do I believe that they did that?
Do you buy it?
They're so shameless.
Yes.
That I don't believe that they would like.
They're gonna hide Olivia Rodrigo's comment. It probably got a lot of likes.
Oh, I'm sure they would hide or delete the comment, but like take it down. I mean, that's hard for me to believe. There's the shame level is like whatever the equivalent of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is for shame.
Number three.
The Pete Hegseth level of shame.
The final ring of hell.
That's right.
Of shame. Last. Entry in this game when pop star Serena Carpenter's song Juno was used by ICE, she condemned it, calling the video evil and disgusting. White House spokesperson Abigail Jackson, a very real person representing a very important institution in the United States, responded by saying, quote, Here's a short and sweet message to Sabrina Carpenter. We won't apologize for deporting dangerous criminals, illegal murderers, rapists, and pedophiles from our country. Anyone who would defend these sick monsters must be stupid. Or is it slow?
If they were going to deport racists, they would take away all of Trump's cabinet.
Got them.
Got their asses. Do I believe what?
Do you believe that one was real?
I know that Sabrina Carpenter said, "Don't use my stuff.
Get my name out of your mouth."
I know this happened, but I'm not. I don't know if that sounds like a right response to me.
That sounds like the White House. If it's hard to guess, it's because they're all real, and this is just the dystopian future that we're in. This is a real person responding to Sabrina Carpenter's real issue with them utilizing her intellectual property. Every single one happened.
They did take the video of the first one down, though.
They sure, well, because they're going to listen to Theo Von, of course.
Yeah, they'll listen to a man.
They're going to listen to Theo Von.
But I will say two things. Is like Olivia Rodrigo, Theo Von, and I know that they've also used Taylor Swift's music,
that's right.
And she has not said anything.
Oh, weird.
When my, not me, because Franklin the Turtle is like a little younger than me, but like my younger siblings would be reading the Franklin the Turtle books, and like because he teaches about like kindness and empathy, these like very like Christian values, and so Pete Hegseth used Franklin the Turtle as like to make a meme of like Franklin the Turtle targets,
launching an RPG out of a helicopter.
Yes, it's targets disgusting. Narco terrorists, and then even the Franklin the Turtle people, who you could assume might not be entirely woke,
prone to popping off on
Twitter, or prone to popping off, and they'd be like, and they were like, stop it, like take Franklin the Turtle's name out your mouth, and this is not okay. But like it's so insidious the way that it's also not just that there are these crimes. Families are being torn apart. I read a story this week about a man who was seeking asylum in the U.S., afraid to go back to his home country. He goes in for a check-in at an immigration facility, disappears, and nobody has seen his six-year-old son since. It was him and his six-year-old son, and nobody knows where this boy is.
Right.
Where is this six-year-old? The six-year-old hasn't done anything, and you're trying to tell me that every single immigrant in this country is some sort of like drug dealing terrorist?
That's
I do not believe that. And also, even if they were, and they are not, we have rule of law. The reason we use the word alleged to describe Pete Hegseth's alleged war crimes, although confirmed dingusry, is because you are innocent until proven guilty. There is a process. And so even if you were like, okay, this person's bad, you give them a trial. This is what makes America great. I am shouting. Like, we actually have one of the best like legal processes in the world. Why wouldn't it's so abhorrent that families are being torn apart, our communities are being torn apart, and they are not just tearing them apart, but they're making jokes about it. Like, it's funny that a six-year-old is missing? No.
We're taking away due process rights. We're masking our DHS gangs we are bombing boats in the Caribbean. And we're having a cute little time with these, misappropriation of intellectual property.
And
it's crazy.
I will
the
say,
juxtaposition's
it's
crazy.
The very least that a person can do, like Theo Von. Okay, Theo Von and I, if we're in a room, we might not agree on immigration, but he seems to agree, hey, maybe don't make a joke about what you're doing. That's like, stop using this stuff. So it's the very least that these rich,
it's disgusting,
powerful cultural figures can say, stop it. So go, good job, Sabrina Carpenter. Good job, Olivia Rodrigo. Taylor Swift, what in the hell?
Taylor Swift, what in the hell? And that's not Taylor Swift showing
Swift
up to a award ceremony with Sabrina Carpenter as Sabrina Carpenter's guest and wearing platform heels. I saw you. I saw you, and that was her whole thing is that she's short and sweet, and you, and how dare, and if you, I was her, I would be hurt, and how dare you?
I think so. As girl culture, I am a representative of girl culture. When we get
the representative from girl culture, take the floor, please.
When we get ready to do, like, to go to events together, we check on outfits. Me and our mutual friend Liz.
You never asked me about my outfit.
With me and our mutual friend Liz, who is a photographer, she and I went to a fundraiser for the Museum of Art, Cedar Rapids. Shout out Cedar Rapids Museum of Art, which Grant Wood was from here. They are holding it down on the Grant Wood legacy. We love them. We love to see it. Mm-hmm. And I went to a fundraiser for them. I love to fuck up a fundraiser. But I was texting to be like, girl, what are you wearing? She was like, what are you wearing? We're sending each other pictures of our outfits so that we can, you know, coordinate together. And we decided, because it was at the country club, we decided tits out at the country club.
Tits out at the country club is a great thing. That's a thesis.
It is. That's, and so we did tits out at the country club. But I will say, Taylor Swift, of her many crimes, the most recent album being one of them. It's.
No comment.
No comment. I have a 14-year-old daughter. So Taylor Swift is big in this home. And even my daughter was like, not my favorite. And her top album on her Spotify Wrapped, her top album, Sabrina Carpenter. To me, if we got to transition into things that are good this week, I'd say Sabrina Carpenter, short and sweet, bringing up trying to fight Pete Hegseth with her tiny bare hands.
With her, that bare-fisted brawler, Sabrina Carpenter.
Honestly, between the two of them, I would put all my money on Sabrina Carpenter. Oh, she's like little.
Ass.
Yeah, she would beat his ass.
She's got leverage. Yeah, she's low to the ground.
She would be right there, like, dick level punching. Maybe
she's taller than that. She's not that short.
Ankles. I don't know. I'm 5'7", and like for me, that's a little taller than average. But for me, I always feel like I'm 6'4".
Yeah, you give 6'4".
I have 6'4" energy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm actually taller than you.
I keep the facts don't verify that, but like I appreciate that, like, symbolically you feel taller than me. I
told your
that.
Parents this at Thanksgiving,
and they were like, "Sure, sweetie."
How tall is your dad too? He's very tall.
I think he's shorter than I am.
He feels very tall because he's a military man.
Yeah, he's...
He has that military bearing. So your dad to me is 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I am 6'4".
And you're also his daughter, as you keep saying, right?
That's like, right. But I have that like 6'4 energy. I will also say the thing about platform shoes is like, if you're a tall woman, wearing tall shoes becomes
cool.
A thing. Like when I have date, I don't care about height. I'll date anybody. Short kings.
To the kings.
Shout out to a short king. But I will like check my shoe height because I think it bothers them that I make more money than them. And now for me to like put on a
you would
heel.
You take this from me.
That I also put on a heel and be taller than them. And I... Do you remember when I dated that doctor?
Oh my God.
That was bad news for everyone involved, especially my friends who I put through a lot of trauma.
Homeboy showing up to my happy hour.
He was, oh my gosh. He was so like insecure in the relationship that he literally showed up to an event that Zach was hosting. He was not invited to, sat down, and then was like, you know, I'm dating Liz, blah, blah, blah. But he was so insecure and he a little on the shorter side. If I wore, I don't like a high-heeled shoe, but I love a boot with a heel. I love walking around with a little boot with a heel. It goes click, 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 click. Yeah. Power sound. I love that. He would get like really upset if I did that. So, you know, you're always like, check in with a guy. I'm going to wear a heel and see how he feels. And if he hates it, then... It's doomed, girls.
You need to find the fellas that are trying to get stepped on. You know what I mean? That's a little dating advice.
That's a little dating advice. That's good news. I have to say, I am not going to reveal my Spotify rap because
it's actually just Skimbleshanks the Railroad Cat. You've listened to 500,000 minutes of song this year, according to Spotify rap. They were all Skimbleshanks.
I have to say a couple things about it. I run a lot. So I'm a runner. And I believe so strongly with my whole heart that your running playlist is between you and your God and no one else. Like, what gets you motivated is unless it's like, you know, Nazi music, then I think you should be held accountable. But like, you know, if you need to listen, hypothetically, I'm not saying this is me, but hypothetically, if you have to listen to Sugarland over and over and over again.
And I do.
And if you need Jennifer Nettles' voice to get you through those intervals, then that is your business. And I don't think anybody needs to know this. But I will
I will say it to these three cameras.
No, that's a hypothetical.
Oh, you're not going to confess.
I'm going to confess to two things.
Okay.
Because I prepped to confess to two things. I will say one of... And also, I share a Spotify with a small boy, too, who likes to listen to musicals. I'm going to throw my kids under the bus constantly. I will say, out of everybody in this house, the one person who was very into the Taylor Swift album this year was my 12-year-old son.
Oh, okay.
He really likes Elizabeth Taylor, the song. Like the other day, he had a lot of homework to do, so he came in, went straight upstairs, and I could hear him blaring Life of a Showgirl while he was working on his rough draft for his class. And I think that that is adorable in a small boy. And I think that that's okay. We'll talk to him about the complications later. One of my top songs, and this is not my kids' fault, this is 100% my fault, is I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan. And I have to say, for the past several years, it is always one of my top songs because it's always on my running playlist.
What about that song gets you going? Like, what's the, where are you? Paint a picture for me.
Zach, if you're out there running, you have to be swift as a coursing river.
You have to be a man.
With all the force of a great typhoon.
To be a man, yeah.
You must have the strength of a raging fire. You must be mysterious as the dark side of the moon. Love this song.
I would play a selection of this song if we weren't able to so perfectly capture
We sang it. I need that song to get me to run, especially in the cold winter, especially in the hot, hot summer. I need that motivation to help me do like sprints. If I'm doing like hill training, I want to run up a hill listening to that song from Mulan because I am a man. I am a father figure.
Spiritually a man.
I am.
You got great. You do have masculine
energy. Joe Rogan of the left. Actually,
self-proclaimed.
I had somebody say it is. She was like, "It's hard for you to date because you have too much masculine energy." And I was like, "That's not a me problem.
You're a provider.
I'm a protector.
I do feel so safe from your very large dog in your arms. That is true.
And also, guess who can do an unassisted pull-up?
That is really rad.
That's me.
She's bragging. She's like on her Instagram.
I am bragging.
Ripping the bar.
I showed you the video.
You did.
To prove it's... to you. I haven't posted the video because in the video I did a little kick to get me out.
Oh, you were kipping.
And it's just a little guy and I'm embarrassed by it. So I'm going to get a clean video of me not doing that little kick because I can do it without the kick. But I've been doing so many, I've been trying so hard to get this pull up before the end of the year that my arms are. They're a little tired.
That's okay. I in CrossFit, I briefly was in a CrossFit class, and they were like all about the kipping help you get across the. I mean, because the fact is, doing a pull up, an assisted pull up, doing a pull up with some kipping, doing a full pull up, these are all really good for the arm.
That's right.
It's actually very impressive to do.
And it's harder for women because our center of gravity is like our hips, and men's center of gravity is higher. So
it's actually our brains. Our very huge manly brains.
Cancel them. Cancel them.
Fuck.
Cancel him. Cancel him.
Shit.
No.
I like this cam. I like the like pop in head of this camera a lot.
He likes to stick his head in my camera.
It's
the man spread.
It is a man spread. Yeah.
That is my camera. Do the thing where you put your head. Fucking asshole. So that's what's bringing me joy, and that's the only insight into the Spotify rap. Because mostly, Zach, as we learned at the top, I've been listening to the Holy Spirit this
and
year.
And thanks for listening, Patreon.
I've been listening to the small voice inside me. I've been listening to my inner child.
It's been you all. You have been the voice you've been listening to. Did you just call yourself the Holy Spirit?
I've been listening. I'm saying multiple things. I'm listing the things I've been listening to. The Holy Spirit, my inner child.
You are the top 2% of Holy Spirit
listeners.
I've been listening
to women.
What a concept. Real performative masculinity over here.
I am the man.
Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/LizLens is the home of Dingus of the Week, a Men Yell at Me media production. Love or hate what you heard, help us keep it coming. Support
us, cancel us.
Cancel us. And while you're doing it, subscribe by and become a $5 a month member. Help us keep these coming. Here are some things you can do to help us out. Go like this episode and subscribe to our channel over at our YouTube. If you are a devoted audio only listener, why not give us a rating, a review wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everything does help. Why not both? Spotify and Apple Podcasts, if you got the time.
That's right.
Have a dingus of your own. Send us a voicemail by going to memo.fm/dingus. Leave us a voicemail, and you might just hear it on the next episode of Dingus of the Week.
That's right. And thank you so much to our Men Yell at Me newsletter editor, who keeps our facts clean, sharp, and crispy.
Love to see it.
They remain anonymous. But we will also thank assistant editor Isabel Rosario. Dingus of the Week is produced by Zachary Oren Smith.
That's
over
me.
Here. And our theme music is by Laura Benitez and The Heartache. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Listen to women and the Holy Spirit.
Listen, get some Jesus, listen to women. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.